TCM workers get an unscheduled unpaid vacation. Upgrades for business aircraft will continue to be a strong market. And the Brits move to extend the service life of the Puma. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 5th, 2009. It's the start of another work week, unless you build Teledyne Continental Motors. Company President Rhett Ross tells ANN a combination of lower OEM orders and improved manufacturing performance means the factory has outstripped demand. TCM will stop building engines for a week, reopening a week from today, in order to build backlog enough to keep the factory's output pipeline filled without bubbles, if you'll excuse that metaphor. Ross says TCM will also shut down the weeks of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that sales, shipping and receiving, and website and distributor services will keep a normal schedule. In an analysis titled The Market for Light Aircraft Retrofit and Modernization, Forecast International estimates that nearly $1.7 billion will be spent on upgrades for fixed-wing aircraft weighing less than 70,000 pounds in the decade now through 2018, as the electronics sector has stabilized after a spike fueled by FAA mandates. The market will be led by propulsion upgrades. FI says an FAA mandate can easily lead to a dramatic increase in activity, particularly in the electronics sector, as operators hurry to comply. In recent years, mandates for traffic collision avoidance systems and reduced vertical separation minimum compliance temporarily revitalized the electronics aftermarket, but these spurts of activity rarely last long. FI reports the light aircraft retrofit market shows no signs of weakening over the next 10 years, though the exact course it will follow depends on a number of factors that are notoriously difficult to predict. Can you say next gen? There's a military propulsion upgrade program launching in Britain. Eurocopter UK and the British Ministry of Defense have signed a contract for the life extension program for 28 of the Royal Air Force's fleet of Puma Mark I helicopters. The upgraded Pumas will be designated Puma HC Mark II and will offer significantly enhanced performance and operational capabilities and remain in service until at least 2022. The comprehensive upgrades include new Turbomeca Makila 1A1 engines, a glass cockpit, new communications, navigation, and defensive systems, and a digital autopilot. Performance and payload will be substantially increased, particularly in hot and high conditions. The contract is valued at $364 million U.S. and is due to be completed by December 2014. Up next on ANN, the amphibious Legend Float Cub gets its LSA credentials. Avidyne offers instant rebates. And the airlines want the government to subsidize alternative jet fuel development. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 5th. I'm Paul Plack. American Legend Aircraft Company said Friday it has received certification for its amphibious Legend Float Cub, making it available immediately. The new aircraft is based on a lightweight version of the Legend Cub and is configured with Baumann amphibious floats. The new model qualifies as an LSA. The amphibious Legend Float Cub made its first flight back in July and has spent the summer traveling cross-country from Texas to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and Greenville, Maine, then back. At the 36th Annual International Seaplane Fly-In in Greenville, Maine last month, the plane took two awards, Best Takeoff and Cutest Darn Aircraft. American Legend General Manager Kurt Sennard says the new amphib has distinct advantages over the original Cub. Quote, "Firstly, doors on both sides of the cockpit give the Legend Cub, pilot and passenger, easy access when docking the aircraft. Secondly, the Legend Cub's electric start, which did not exist on the original J3, eliminates the precarious step of hand-propping and maneuvering back to the cockpit, We are excited about this aircraft and share this enthusiasm with our customers. Unquote. The first customer aircraft is now in production. MSRP for the amphibious Legend Float Cub is $159,000. On Friday, Avadyne announced something called the FlySafe Instant Rebate Program, called part of a larger initiative to promote enhanced safety in general aviation. The rebate applies to Integra MFD Series, Integra Weather Series, and Integra Traffic Series products. Avadyne COO Patrick Hergeth explained, quote, "Our FlySafe initiative is designed to provide substantial savings that make all of our safety-enhancing products, including our full suite of displays and safety sensors, available to an even wider number of aircraft owners." Unquote. The rebates are instant, awarded at the time of purchase, and total $500 for purchase of one eligible product, $1,500 off on two, $3,000 off on three, and a $5,000 rebate on four purchased together. To be eligible, register online by visiting avadyne.com, then click on the rebate program banner on the right. The program runs through December 31st. The National Business Aviation Association is applauding U.S. House Resolution 3678, introduced by Florida Republican John Mica and co-sponsored by four members of the House General Aviation Caucus. The bill has a goal similar to one in Mica's amendment to the FAA reauthorization bill earlier, namely forcing the Transportation Security Administration into formal rulemaking on any rule imposed for more than 180 days. Prompted by knee-jerk moves like the so-called Large Aircraft Security Program and the recent badging requirements for GA pilots at commercial airports, the bill seeks to rein in a TSA which appears unconcerned with its impact on freedoms or commerce. NBAA President Ed Bolin commented, quote, "This legislation will allow us to work with the TSA to respond quickly to imminent security threats, while at the same time providing a review process that properly balances risk with potential industry impacts. We thank Representative Mica and his colleagues." Unquote. Air Transport Association Chairman and United Airlines CEO Glenn Tilton told attendees at the Commercial Aviation Alternative Fuels annual meeting on Thursday that there is clearly a market for alternative fuels for airliners, but development is being hindered by the current economy and a government focus on punishment in environmental matters rather than assisting in developing the alternatives. Regarding costs, Tilton noted that the industry consumed about the same total amount of fuel in 2008 as it did in 2003, but that the cost for that fuel was $42 billion higher. Quote, "It's impossible to offset a $16 billion increase, let alone a $42 billion increase, with non-fuel cost reductions or new revenues. Volatile increases in fuel costs devastate the industry's bottom line. We know very well the significant issues caused by our reliance on oil from unstable regions of the world. With fuel supply lines in the U.S. located in Gulf and coastal regions, we also contend with the impact of weather-related supply disruptions. Alternative fuels would help bring needed diversity of physical supply." Unquote. Tilton said the airlines are ready to start replacing some of the 18 to 20 billion gallons of petroleum-based jet fuel they use each year with alternatives, and called on governments to lead the investment which will be needed. Quote, "We need alternative fuels, want alternative fuels, and we've flown aircraft with them. The country has a great opportunity, and together we can meet this challenge, or we can continue to flounder around. Not what I would call a tough decision." Unquote. Still ahead, the August mid-air collision over the Hudson draws a lawsuit. It's a great time to be shovel-ready. And the CLEAR program will be returning to airports soon. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 5th. I'm Paul Plack. The widow of Steve Altman, the airplane pilot involved in a mid-air collision that killed nine people over the Hudson River August 8th, has filed a wrongful death suit in federal court in Philadelphia, seeking more than $1.3 million in damages for the loss of her husband. Altman's brother and nephew were also killed in that accident, as well as the helicopter pilot and five Italian tourists. The Associated Press reports that Pamela Altman's suit names tour company Liberty Helicopters, Meridian Consulting One, which owned the helicopter, and American Eurocopter, the manufacturer. The suit claims the tour company and owner have a horrid history of accidents and that Eurocopter did not equip the aircraft with sufficient safety equipment. The National Transportation Safety Board said in August that the Eurocopter was equipped with emergency floats, but they were of the type which requires manual deployment. The board did not say whether they had been deployed. NTSB Chair Deborah Herzman said the board has on file 8 accidents involving Liberty helicopters since 1995, and one additional incident involving contact between the tail skid of a departing helicopter and the main rotor of another waiting to depart at New York's West 30th Street heliport. In the most recent crash on August 8th, amateur video released to the media and other evidence gathered so far doesn't make it clear whether the helicopter pilot even saw Altman's Piper closing in on him, let alone whether he could have evaded it. This will be an interesting one if it makes it to court. The FAA has granted Mississippi's Gulfport-Biloxi Airport $10.1 million for a new control tower to replace the current facility that was built in the 70s. The new tower will be 120 feet tall and topped with a 395-square-foot cab, giving controllers more room to work. The FAA says it's also designed to be able to withstand hurricane-force winds. The South Mississippi Sun-Herald reports that planning for the new tower began before Hurricane Katrina roared through the region, seriously damaging the existing facility. One wall of the tower was bulging out, and Jeremiah Gerald, director of Air Service and Business Development, said, quote, "You could see through the side of the wall," unquote. The new tower will be located south of the current building in an area used by general aviation aircraft. A new cargo building was recently built in that area, and new hangars are also planned. And finally today, the CLEAR program, which promised registered travelers expedited clearance through TSA airport checkpoints in exchange for a $199 fee, never became what it was supposed to be. Congress passed a law requiring the government to run background checks on applicants who were then supposed to be able to bypass screening, but that never happened. Instead, it just became a way to bribe your way to the front of existing screening lines. The company which operated it, VIP, for Verified Identity Pass, went under, leaving 200,000 customers to get back in the slow lane without so much as a refund. Some had paid their annual fee just days or even hours before the surprise shutdown. Founder Steve Brill was forced out of VIP and sued by his investors. But, like many other good ideas in a recession, the CLEAR program was available for pennies on the dollar and has been picked up by a new investor group called Henry Incorporated. The New York Times reports that California investment banker Curtis Fetchmeyer found during his due diligence that, quote, "People are still desperate for convenience at security checkpoints, and the government is very interested in having more registered travelers whose identities are verified. There is still strong demand for this service," unquote. The bad news? Former members still won't get a refund, prorated or otherwise. Personal data currently on file for the former customers of VIP who choose not to join the new program will be purged from computers. But looking on the bright side, it was only $199. At least they didn't have 60% down on a jet. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Over the Airwaves publisher and Cessna Pilot Center proprietor Bob Miller answers my questions about Cessna's new sport and private pilot syllabus, which moves online and away from DVDs. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.